Okay, we're holding on Erevin Daf, Lamed Dalet. We're at the very bottom of Lamed Gimel, Amed Bet. So, we have an additional interpretation as to why the basket makes any kind of difference, why it gives a more lenient din. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, Shani Kalkala, Hoyel V'yachol N'Tota, V'aviyah L'toch Hasara. A basket is different because a large basket, in theory, you could tilt it downward while it's still in its place and bring the eruv within 10 tvachim of the ground. So because you could do that, because you could access it in that area, we already treat the basket as if it's fundamentally different, even if you don't bring it down. But now we're going to question that type of assessment, where we say, well, because you could do it, we're already going to treat it like it's okay, even if you don't do it. Yativ Rav Papa v'ka amar la hashamata. So Rav Papa was sitting and relaying that which he had heard from Rav Yirmiyah. Eitvei Rav Bar Shiva le Rav Papa ketzad hu oseh. And then Rav Bar Shiva asked Rav Papa, how exactly is this executed in the following particular case when a Yom Tov falls out right before Shabbat. Molicho barishon, right? Umachshich alav, venotlo uvalo, basheni, machshich alav, veochlo uvalo, right? So you bring the eruv, Thursday afternoon before Yom Tov, and then you can stay with it there until night, and then you can take it. And then on the second day, you bring it back. You don't want to leave it there because it's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to it there. It's not going to be protected, so you're going to lose your eruv, which, you know, is fine once it, if it, you know, if you're just leaving it there and it already started Shabbat there, then it's fine. But if you need it there for Shabbat, then you have a problem. So then you take it back, right? And then you bring it there on Yom Tov itself towards the evening, wait until Shabbat, and then you can bring it back and eat it. And that's how you would set up your eruv. Right, ve'amai, emekavan de ibayim tu ye matzi mamte le'af al gav delo amtaya kemad dem taya dami. But why would he need to go through this process where he brings it erev Yom Tov, stays with it until Yom Tov, then brings it home, brings it back on Yom Tov, which is erev Shabbat, and then stays with it until Shabbat, and then bring it back? Why don't we just say, well, you could bring it, right? There's nothing stopping you from bringing it, so you don't actually have to bring it. Just in theory, you could bring it. If we saw anything you could do as if you already did it in the for the purposes of Eruv. No. The reason we don't do that is as a gzeira, because of a case where Yom Tov falls after Shabbat. Because while you can carry on Yom Tov and then leave it there for Shabbat, you can't carry on Shabbat and then leave it there for Yom Tov, right? So that's why we don't say, that's why you have to go through with it. That's why you have to execute every part of that process. Because we're concerned that if we just let you, we're concerned that on Shabbat, you can't actually bring it there, but if you're used to whenever you have a Shabbat and Yom Tov back-to-back, not actually bringing it a second time, then you might think that not only when Yom Tov comes right before Shabbat, but also when Yom Tov comes right after Shabbat, I don't have to bring it for the second time. Right? So that is why you have to actually bring it, so you don't rely on that false understanding or that iser. You're not allowed to bring it on Shabbat. You can't rely on the fact that you could. You have to actually bring it there on Yom Tov, and then you'll realize on Shabbat when you can't actually bring it there that your eruv doesn't work.
If you intended to have to establish your Shabbat residence in a public domain and you put the eruv in a kotel, if it was less than 10 tvachim above the ground, that's an eruv. L'mal ma'asar tvachim, ein eruv eruv. But if it's above 10 tvachim, it's not an eruv. Mitkaven lishbo b'rosh ha'shovach or b'rosh ha'migdal, l'mal ma'asar tvachim, eruv eruv. L'mata ma'asar tvachim, ein eruv eruv. But if you wanted to set up your residence atop a dovecote or a closet, then if you put it underneath 10 tvachim, that's when it's not an eruv, because you're on the top of the closet, you're higher up. But if you put it above 10 tvachim, then it's going to be a proper eruv.
But why would it not be an eruv, right? In theory, meaning why would it not be an eruv if you put it on top, if you put it above 10 tvachim? Really, you could just tilt the closet over and bring the eruv to within
10 tefachim, right? It's a simple matter of just leaning the eruv over, and then the leading the closet over, bringing the eruv within 10 tefachim above the ground, and then it would be a valid eruv. Now, that seems to be a possibility, and yet we still say it's an invalid eruv just because it's up there. So it would seem that Rabbi Yirmiyah's case, where you don't actually have to have it in the domain as long as it can be accessible from the domain, is difficult according to this. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hacham Migdal Misumar Askin. I know we're dealing with a closet that was nailed to the wall. You can't lean it over. Rava Amar Afilo Teva Migdal She'ena Misumar. Rava says, I can even explain to you how this case would work if the tower was not nailed into the wall. V'achav Migdal Aroch Askinan De'imamti Le'purta Azil Chutlar Ba'amot. Right, we're dealing with a very tall closet that if you leaned it over, the extent to which you would bring the top of the closet within 10 tefachim of the ground, you would have left the Dalet Amot. Right? So if it's a short closet, then you can lean the closet over, and by the time the top of the closet reaches within 10 tefachim of the ground, you're still within your domain. But if it's a very tall closet, then you can't just lean it over and keep the edge of the closet within the original Dalet Amot that it's standing in. It's going to lean outside the Dalet Amot. Hechidami, Hidika Kavta Umitna, Aleti Bekavta Umitna. So just a clarifying question, which seems like an odd question, but I presume that this was just a very common case. So what exactly is the case we're dealing with? Are we dealing with a case where there is a window in the closet and the eruv is tied to a rope, in which case you can just pull the eruv out through the window with the rope? Yeah, we're talking about a case where there is no window and no rope, in which case that's not an option for you. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Netano bevor afilu amok mea ama. You put it in a pit, even if it's 100 amot deep. High bor dekai hecha. Where is this pit that we're talking about? Ileima dekai reshuta yachid. Pshita reshuta yachid ole adlorakia. Right. If this pit is in a private domain, then you know obviously that's you'd be allowed to take it because the private domain extends upward entirely, so everything's still in the private domain. Just as we said earlier that Rishut HaYachid extends to the Rakia, so too it goes down as low as it can go, in which case this is all going to be considered Rishut HaYachid, and of course it should be treated as obvious that that in the pit would be considered a proper Rishut HaYachid. And if you want to say that it's in Rishut HaRabim, this pit is in Rishut HaRabim, where exactly did you intend to set up your Shabbat residence? Right? If you want to do it on the edge of the pit, the top of the pit, then you're in one place and your eruv is in a different place, so that can't work. And if you want to say that no, he intended to set up a Shabbat residence at the bottom of the pit, that's also obvious because you're in one place and your eruv is in the exact same place. So really, if it's a Rishut HaYachid, then obviously it's a valid eruv because it's all one domain. If it's a Rishut HaRabim and you want it to be at the bottom with the Eruv, obviously you and the Eruv are in one place. And if you want to be at the top of the Eruv, then obviously cannot be because you and the Eruv are in a different place. So what exactly is this mission trying to teach me? Lo tricha de kai bekarmeli, then it's kavin lishpot lamala, v'rebi hi de amar, kol devar shu mishum shu, lo gazru alav benesh mashot. Now, as we're talking about a case where you want to be on top of the pit, but on top of the pit is a Carmelite, right? And we're talking about Rebbe's Shita, who believes you can transfer from the Shita Yachid into a Carmelite on Shabbat. Okay, new Mishnah. Not no barosh hakana or barosh hakundos. Hakundos bisman shu talush v'na'utz filu gavo me'ama harez eruv. So if you put it on top of a reed or a pole, so if the reed had been uprooted from the ground first, I mean, not while it's growing in the ground, but if it uprooted in the ground and then subsequently stuck into the ground, then no matter how high up the reed is, it's going to be considered a valid Eruv. Ramile, Rav Adabar Matna, L'Rava. So Rav Adabar Matna posed the following contradiction to Rava, Talush V'na'utz in, Lo Talush V'na'utz Lo. So if it had been uprooted, then yes, you're allowed to put something on top of the reed, but if it had not been uprooted, then you're not allowed to. Mani Rabbanon, so whose opinion does this follow? Must be the Rabbanon. Right, the Amri, they said, Kol Davar Shehu Mishum Shvut, Gazru Alav Banish Mashon. Right, anything that's a rabbinic prohibition, it's still going to be Usher during Banish Mashon to do. this must be the Rabbanan Shita, because if the reed was still attached to the ground, then taking something off the reed is an Isser Derabbanan, right? It's like using a tree, which we said was an Isser Derabbanan. But if it was Rebbe's Shita, then obviously you'd be allowed to take it off, because Rebbe says that Isserei Derabbanan are Mutter Derabbanan Ben Shemashar V'Hamad Reisha Rabbi. But didn't we just say that the Reisha, the beginning of the Breita, follows Rebbe's Shita? So how is it that we have this case? How is it that the end of the Mishnah could only work according to the Rabbanan, and the beginning of the Mishnah only works according to Rebbe? Who's the author of the Mishnah? Is it Rebbe or the Rabbanan? Just say Reisha Rebbe Pshitahu Ve'eru B'makum Echad. As we said earlier, that the Reisha must be Rebbe's Shita when it says Pshitahu Ve'eru B'makum Echad, right? That he and his Eruv are in the same place. Sorry, misread that. Reisha Rebbe V'Seifa Rabbanan. Could we have a case where the Reisha is Rebbe's Shita, but the Seifa is Rabbanan Shita? Amar le kvar rami le rami bar chama le rav chizda vishani la reisha rebi v'sefer rabbanan. That contradiction had already been posed to rami bar chizda, and what he said was, yeah, the reisha follows rebi shita and the sefer follows the rabbanan shita. Ravina amar kula rebi hu. Ravina says, no, actually you can explain the entire thing is really rebi shita v'gzeira v'sefa gzeira shema yaktom. And the reason for the gzeira, it could really be rebi shita. Normally rebi would say you're allowed to use trees, banish mashon. You gotta take something off a tree, banish mashon. But here he says it's prohibited because he's concerned that you may come to detach it from the ground or break off a piece of it. And that's why there's an additional gzeira here not to do it, even though it's banish mashon. In general, you would be allowed to. Hahu pulmusa de atal Narada. So certain army came to Narada. Amar lehu Rav Nachman, puku avidu kivushe kavshe ba'agma l'machar nezil v'netiv ilavaihu. Right. So go out and push down a number of reeds in the marsh. That way we can go sit on them tomorrow. Basically, the city was going to be very crowded because of the army, in which case they needed to establish a different place where they could sit and learn comfortably. And so they had to go and bend over the reeds while it was still before Shabbat. Etevei Rami Bar Chama l'Rav Nachman v'Amri l'Rav Ukva Bar Abba l'Rav Nachman talush v'nautz in lo talush v'nautz lo. We ask, what exactly did it help to bend over the reeds? What we said is you can use them only if they have been uprooted and then subsequently stuck back into the ground. But these weren't uprooted and subsequently stuck back into the ground. These were just bent over. Amar lehatam be'uzardin. No, so that's a case where the reeds were hardened. If they're hardened, they need to be uprooted and re-put into the ground. However, if they're soft, they can simply be bent over. And where do we learn that you make that such a distinction between hard reeds and soft reeds? Detani, we learned in a Braita, Hakanin v'ha'atadin v'ahigin. So when it comes to reeds and atadin and higin, min ilan hein v'enon kilei kerem. They're all types of trees, and they don't constitute mixed species that can't be planted together in a vineyard. Vitanya idach, and a different Braita taught, Hakanin v'hakidin v'ha'urbanin. A different Braita taught that the reeds and the kinin and the urbanin, min yarakein makilayim akerem, right? They're all types of vegetables, and they cannot be planted in a vineyard together because they're subject to the iser of planting different species together. Kasha adade, but that's clearly difficult because one Braita said the kanin were considered a plant, and one Braita said the kanin are considered a tree. Elash mamina kan buzardin kan b'shein buzardin shmamina. Right. So then so the distinction that we created is one is hardened. Hardened reeds, which we classify as a tree, and one is soft reeds, which we classify as a plant, and that is the source for the distinction between. That was the source for the distinction between the two. Vakida min yaraku, but can we really say that a kida, by the way, just kind of commenting on earlier, a kida we just said was a type of vegetable. Can we really say a kida is a type of vegetable? Hatanan de milun in a Mishnah. En markivin pegam al gebe kida levana, right? That you can't graft a pegam onto a kida levana, and if it was a vegetable, you'd be allowed to. It only applies to trees. Mipnei shu yarak be'ilan, right? Because it's a type of because it's grafting a vegetable onto a tree. Amar Rav Papa kida lechud ve kida levana lechud. Yeah, that's talking about a kida levana.
a white kedah. However, our case is talking about just a normal kedah, and those things are different, right? A normal kedah is a yerek, and a kedah levana is considered a tree. Kenu mishnah, not no b'migdal v'avanam avdeach. You put it in a closet, and you lost the key. Harez eruv, still considered an eruv. Abilezer omer, imeinu yodesh avdeach v'mkomo, eno eruv. If he doesn't know where the key is, it's not considered an eruv. Gemara, v'amai, right? Why would this eruv be valid? Hu b'makom echad ve'eruv makom acher. He's in one place, his eruv's in another place. He doesn't have access to it. Rav Shmuel, damar tervayo, achav migdal shel levena maskinan. We're dealing with a closet of bricks that you can just dismantle and then access the eruv. Rabbi Meir, he the amar pochet lechachila v'notel, and because Rabbi Meir holds that you can just you can kind of break through the closet and just take it, even lechachila. It's not when the Mishnah bayit shemilu peiro satum. So a house that was filled with fruit and that was locked up for Yom Tov and niftach notel mimakom ha pechat. V'nifchat, notel v'makom ha-pechat, Rabbi Meir omer, pocheid v'notel lechachila. So if the house was opened, right, it was broken open, then you could take the fruit. And the chiddush there is that they are not considered muktzah just because they started Yom Tov inaccessible to you. And then Rabbi Meir says, even lechachila, you're allowed to break it open and take from it. V'ha'amar, Rav Nachman bar Ada, Amar Shmuel, Bavira de Livne. Didn't we teach by that Mishnah that we're talking about where the house was constructed in such a way that the bricks weren't actually cemented together, and that's why Rabbi Meir allows you to break through it? Here, how could you say the same in our case? Yeah, because our case is also talking about a case where the bricks were not cemented together, and so the house was very weak structurally, and you could just take it apart and access the Eruv inside of it. V'ha'amar Rabbi Zeira b'yom tov amru aval lo b'shabbat. But didn't Rabbi Zeira teach that you're allowed to do that? That was only said about Yom Tov, but not said about Shabbat. Hachanami be Yom Tov. Yeah, but here too, our Mishnah is talking about a case of Yom Tov, in which case everything still is fine. Yachi hainu diktani Allah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer im be'ir avad eruvo eruv im besade avad ein eruvo eruv. But it's difficult to assume that our Mishnah is only talking about Yom Tov because of that which we taught about our Mishnah, that if the key was lost in the city, then it's going to be an Eruv. But if the key was lost in a field, then it's not going to be an Eruv. Because, you know, if the key was in the city, you could just bring it. And if the key was in a field, then you seemingly do not have access to it. But if it's talking about Yom Tov, what's the theoretical distinction to be made between the field and the city? So the city on Shabbat makes a significant difference because you can carry within the city, right? But you can't carry from the field to the city. But on Yom Tov, you can carry from the field to the city. In which case, if we're only talking about Yom Tov, it doesn't seem logical to establish a difference between the field and the city. Chasuri Mechsar Avachi Katani. Really, Mishnah's missing a couple words, and this is how it should have been read. Not Netano b'Migdal v'Nal b'Fana v'Avadam Fteach. You put it in a closet, you locked it, and you lost the key. Hareze Eruv. That is an Eruv. Medvarim Amurim. Now, what is the case we're talking about? Be Yom Tov. Only on Yom Tov. Baba Shabbat. Ein Eruv o Eruv. Right? It is not considered an Eruv. Nimtza mafteach ben ba'ir ben besadeh, but if the key was found to be in a field or in the city, ein eruvo eruv, right? Then the eruv is not considered a valid eruv. Rabbi Lezer Omer ba'ir eruvo eruv besadeh ein eruvo eruv, right? And the Rabbi Lezer says no, in a city it's an eruv, and a field it's not considered an eruv. And now we have to elaborate on Rabbi Lezer's shita ba'ir eruvo eruv ki Rabbi Shimon. And if you found it in a city, his eruv is valid. And according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon, ki Rabbi Shimon da'amar echad gago v'echad chaser v'echad karpefo reshut echad hein lekelin shavta betochan. Right? The roofs, the chatzers, the karpefs, they're all considered one domain for the purposes of bringing kalim that started off in the same domain. Meaning, if the kalim were in the same domain, you could bring it. You can bring them within the city through the roofs and the courtyards and the carpets, right? Besada ein eruvo eruv kirabanan. And if you found it in a field, the eruv is not considered valid in accordance with the opinion of the rabbanan. And the rabbanan require you to bring something into a field. Or the rabbanan do not allow you to bring something in from a field, even slowly, even incrementally.
So what we see here is that everything checks out with our Mishnah, because the only distinction that we make between a field and a city is already is in regards to Shabbat. But we already established earlier on, once you see the Chasurei Mechzer, once you see that the full way the Mishnah is supposed to be read, we established earlier on that it is considered a valid Eruv on Yom Tov, and we only make a distinction between if we found the key in the city or the field when we're talking about Shabbat. And that's a sensible distinction to make on Shabbat, but not on Yom Tov. We brought that up as a kasha, but we pointed out that the Mishnah should have been read, that this distinction is only being made by Shabbat. And actually, during Yom Tov, it doesn't matter whether the key is found in the city or in the field.